Welcome to Politics and Prose, the podcast focused on people and politics. Gail Dudley, the audacious advocate, is an author and activist committed to evoking an awakening that compels people and communities to move beyond the status quo. Gail has created a platform to introduce fresh voices through interviewing guests who are relevant to everyday life. Politics and Prose will also share aggregated political data and present it in a way that takes communities from being informed to taking action. New episodes air on Fridays. Make sure to follow Gail on Instagram, Twitter, and post.news at Gail Dudley. And subscribe to her YouTube, www.youtube.com/Gail Dudley. Tune in to be informed. And make sure to subscribe to Politics and Prose wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss an episode. Now let's get into it.
What's up, everyone? I am your host, Gail Dudley, the audacious advocate, author, and activist committed to introducing to you fresh voices through interviewing guests who are relevant to everyday life. I'm so excited. Y'all heard them all month of July, but here they are with us on the first Friday of September. I just first want to thank all of you for joining us as we speak to both Isaiah and Lexi on Generation Wired, Life and Media Through the Eyes of Young People. Welcome, Isaiah. Welcome, Lexi.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here. Hi, News Emotion family and our podcast listeners.
Yeah.
What's going on, News Emotion family? What's going on?
Listen. And yes, y'all, they are quick to say News Emotion, knowing good and well the podcast is Politics and Prose, but we're two families merged into one. So where it's all good, it's all good, it's all good. Listen, I am so thankful that you all hung out and took July by storm. Like, y'all did not miss a beat at all for the entire month. I only popped in on you once, but I turned it over to you all and y'all rocked that thing out. So before we really dive in, they've heard from you during the summer, but I want them to get to know a little bit about you. So I want to start with you, Lexi. Can you introduce yourself to our listening audience so they know more about you?
Absolutely. Well, hello, our podcast listeners. My name is Lexi Williams. I am an interning high school ambassador for News in Motion, our podcast at 7:25 a.m. Our broadcast. But I am a singer. I do poetry. I do journalism. I will be attending college for journalism and law in the future. I will be a junior this year at Pick North. So I'm super excited for that. But yeah, that's a little bit about me.
I love it. Isaiah, can you please introduce yourself to our listening audience?
Absolutely. What's going on to our podcast listeners? It is your boy, Isaiah Jones, and I am a 20-year-old media freelancer / videographer here in Columbus, Ohio. Also recently joined the Lock community. Shout out to my brothers and sisters in the Lock community. One of the fellow J-heads speaking. I also attend Columbus State, and I am enrolled in their digital video production program. And I've been doing that for like the last few months now.
I love it. Yeah. So you say you're in the Lock community.
Yeah.
I love it. No, your hair is looking good. I know the platform out here is only audio, but just tune in to News in Motion come September the 11th and y'all can see his locks because I'm sure this is going to be all the way live by then. All right, you two amazing people. I want to jump in and ask you all some questions. I've just been following some things through all of my research and I thought this was great to kick off this Politics and Prose, the new season on this first Friday of September. So let me start with this question, and I'm going to throw it to you first, Isaiah, and then I'm going to take it to Lexi. How has growing up in a digital age shaped your perspective on media and its impact on society?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. It's definitely changed my perspective on not just life, but on people as well. Sometimes, you know, we're so quick to judge how somebody's lifestyle is off their social media. just because like they flash all this materialistic things, but in reality, you know, it's all just a front. So, you know, you got to take that stuff with like a grain of salt, type of thing.
Yeah, I hear you. There's so much. I don't know. The digital age is taking over some things. I know it's hard for those of us who were in our 50s and 60s, even maybe 40s, compared to late teens, early 20s. I can't imagine what you all are dealing with. So, Lexi, going into your junior year at high school, you're really in the thick of it. How has growing up in a digital age shaped your perspective on media and its impact on society?
That's a good question. So I think being a junior in high school, that goes all the way back to like my little childhood. So I think I didn't really know about social media until, or experienced it for myself or the effects of it until maybe about 10, 12 years old. I saw how, like Isaiah said, it would be so judgmental. It's so shifting and perspective shifting in the high school age now, where it's like judgment now was different than judgment back then for maybe when you guys were kids, because we have social media and different ways to connect to people and see things that we didn't see before. And, you know, there's always more pages and more chapters to a story than what we see on social media, right? So it's just really perspective shifting in a sense where, like, you think you know somebody, but you really don't, just because pictures and little hearts and things and comments, that doesn't explain somebody for who they are. That doesn't get into the nitty gritty of it. And then it's like you go and you see them in real life. It's like, oh, okay, perspective change. Like, whoa, this is completely different. I didn't expect you to be like this. And I think it can also set a societal standard too. Like it's something that people hold themselves to, of like, oh, I have to look like this or be like that. But really, around, you just got to be yourself. Staying true to who you are is a really important piece when it comes to the social media part. And I think some of us that are my age have had to learn the hard way, because in high school, I think it's more of a clique situation, but you have to have social media to be cool, this, that, and the other. And that doesn't matter to me anymore, not as much as it used to, but just staying true to yourself is really important with the social media time growing up with it. But that's for sure how perspective shifting it can be for me.
Wow, thank you for that. You know, what's interesting, again, here we are, the first Friday of September, but I think it was sometime like on, I don't know, it was like the last weekend of July or something. I look at my phone, and I'm like, what is this black box with an X in it? And it hit me. Oh, Twitter, just switched to X. And it was amazing how I have an iPhone, how all the updates automatically came across. And I'm just looking at that thinking, what is going on? You know, why are we changing things? And we also hear of so much misinformation. So, Isaiah, with the abundance of information and the change of what's happening online with all of these different apps, we have Twitter, well, now X, we have Threads, we have Instagram, we have TikTok, we still have Snapchat, we have LinkedIn, we have Facebook, we have others. How do you, as a young Black man, navigate the fine lines between staying informed and avoiding misinformation in your daily life? Because with all those apps comes with a lot of misinformation. So how do you navigate the fine line between staying informed and avoiding misinformation?
I just mostly have like a my well-known reliable sources that I just stick to. You know, if I'm checking out the news, I'll usually stick to the CBS's or the CNN's.
Excuse me, you didn't say News in Motion.
I was gonna say the best for last. You know, you gotta let them finish. You know, never. You know, let them finish. You know,
don't trip now.
Exactly, but in terms of that, you know, just staying within like my well known sources, and you know, if I know any higher ups, you know, trust their perspective. But if we're also, are you also talking about social media as well?
Yeah, all of it. Like, there's just so much false information. How do you navigate through all of it? How do you decide what you believe and you're like, nah, this is trash?
You know, I would say two things. limit your time limit on social media, that definitely can help as well. But just like trusting your morals and what you believe. If you know something isn't sitting right with you, then you really shouldn't just let it bother you.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you ever correct anybody when you see false information, Isaiah?
You know, on a good day, I let it slide. But you know, I'll be like, you know, get the fingers going, and be like, for your information.
Like I used to be crazy, if I can say it that way, and put it on the actual post. Now I will go into their DMs and say, you shared something or you posted something that is false. You may want to consider amending it or taking it down, something like that. But no, there was a time I used to put it right there on their page or in their comments. Like, this is false. Carry on. So you say, Lexi, what about you? With the abundance of information available online, how do you navigate between staying informed and avoiding misinformation?
That's a good question. So I think me and Isaiah both have had the opportunity within the last month to see like the journalism side of things, of having to look in different resources and have to do the research for yourself. And it's funny because I'm the person who always likes to like, I shouldn't say be right all the time, but I'm like, I'll give you a statement to back it up. Here is all the information, CEW, EWC, claim evidence warrant, all of the things. But I just, it's really hard because sometimes you're like, oh, this person said this, but this person is going back to say that. You just do the research for yourself. I try to see what is the common thing that everyone is coming up with, or try to go to the original source itself or where it originally came from. But with social media, you just have to be careful. Like Isaiah kind of took it out of the park with saying you got to stand to your moral, like stick to your morals and know how much time you're spending on social media, how much it can affect who you are. Because you don't want social media to end up becoming the prioritizer or the dominator over who you are or who God's called you to be and those types of things, right? So just don't let it dim your light. Just don't let social media dim your light, because there's so much negativity in the world. And that's where I feel like you can catch a lot of it. In social media, if you spend too much time, just don't let it dim your light and don't let it take away from who you are.
Okay. I want to hear from both of you on this. You know, the common conversation today is AI. What are your thoughts of AI? come on, give it to us. For all of our listeners, we do the actual podcast with video so that we can see each other, because it's, to me, I love being able to ask questions, being able to see you. But I understand that all of you out there, you're only on audio. But Isaiah's face, if y'all could have seen that, it was priceless. So Isaiah, come on, tell me, what are your thoughts on AI? Because you're like, oh man, that conversation again.
I have a neutral opinion about AI. I mean, besides from what I've seen in like movies and when I read in the articles, I just think of everything as like a pro and a con. You know, some pros it might be, you know, it could help, you know, where like, you know, elderly people get around with like their groceries and stuff, you know, transportation. But on the cons list, you know, that would be less employment for actual humans. So I don't know. I don't think AI is gonna, you know, take over or anything like that. But I just got an iffy opinion about it, you know.
You know, before I go to you, Lexi, y'all know my take on, I'm not going to bag my groceries and check myself out of a store. I'm not doing it because I believe in making sure everybody has their position for their jobs. And so I'm like, I'm not checking myself out. Now, if you want me to check myself out, you're going to pay me an hourly rate to do that. So you take that hourly rate off of my final bill. Now, if we got that conversation going, cool. But my hourly rate isn't minimum wage. So you're going to have to come off some money. So I'll probably leave with my groceries free every time I would go anyway. But it's so, I don't know. People have mixed feelings. Now, if it's used as a tool, okay. But don't let it replace your brain, your thinking, your writing, your speaking. Make sure you're still being true to yourself. That's my thoughts about it. It's out there. It's not going anywhere. And Isaiah, thank you for mentioning the elderly, because the rest of this month of September, I'm really going to be speaking to and interviewing people when it comes to the elderly, elder care, how we end up becoming the parents to our parents, having a trust and so forth. Because there's so much that's changing that I think the elderly are feeling left behind. I mean, come on, let's talk about it for a moment, Lexi. I'm gonna go to you real quick. People are questioning, regardless of where people stand with voting, whether they're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, Independent, whatnot, but people are questioning the age. So we had this whole thing, you know, well, can Joe Biden really run? He'll be in his mid-80s come 2024 into that four-year term. Then we have Senator Mitch McConnell, and they're talking about his age. We have Senator Dianne Feinstein, who's 90. They're talking about her age. We have people talking about age, but as long as they're doing the job, should that matter?
That's a good question. I think if you're doing the job, it has its pros and cons, like Isaiah just said. If you're older, yes, it's nice that you're doing the job. You have experience. You've seen all the things in the government, the politics, this, that, and the other. But keep in mind, you're also older. Like, I hate to say it, but you're going to be a bit slower. You're not going to be as quick paced as they may want you to be, right? And then if you put in somebody younger in that place, they may not have as much experience, but you might want to give them the resources to be able to do the things that they need to do, even though they don't have as much experience. And it also could give a new perspective to politics and things of the sort. But you kind of want to go with the person who already knows everything because it's more convenient, even though they may be a little bit slower or whatever it is, given their age. But I think that's kind of my standpoint on it. It's a little interesting, given the fact that they're a little bit older in the government, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. You know, you bring up something too. You have me thinking about mentorship, but we have to be willing to train up and to share what we know with other people without feeling intimidated. And I think that's some pushback, bringing it back around the AI. I think there's some pushback because, we could find everything even when there was just Google. But now it takes us to another level. So you really can't hide much from me because I'm going to find it if I put in the proper prompts or whatever and use AI as a tool. Again, not replacing our brain cells and what we do, this, that, and the other. Which leads me to ask you, what about AI? What about mentorship? Right. What about doing any of that?
So I say for the mentorship piece, I've heard someone else say it, and I think it stuck with me, and I've used it to talk to most adults since, if you're not training, at least if you're in the millennial age, at least 3 to 5 young people, like teens, if you're not mentoring or training, what are you doing? Because we cannot sit here and complain that things aren't happening, things aren't being done. If you're not getting involved with the youth and trying to mentor us and shape us into whatever it comes to voting or knowing your rights or just making an impact in the world or being leaders of tomorrow, we can't do anything if we don't know. We don't want to go on historical cycles, but we'll end up going in those historical cycles if we don't know anything about what happened in the past in the first place, right? Right. But then to move on to your AI point, I think AI can't be a person. AI will never have feelings as a person. AI will never be as genuine. It doesn't have a brain. It cannot. There are pros and cons to it, like Isaiah said. It has the pros of, yes, you can get your work done. You have a different piece or perspective. But I've seen firsthand high schoolers will use it to cheat on college essays or high school essays if you're doing college classes, this, that, and the other. So it's nice, but it's also like a lazy way for high schoolers to get their thing done. So I'm not really for it myself. But if it takes away jobs, that's not going to be okay with the people, I think, because that's taking away money. That's taking away things for their family, clothes, paying bills. So they have to go and find different things. And that's not going to be okay. And so I think we're going to have a bit of a riffraff in politics if this really starts to take over like people think or say they would say it will.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot to unpack here, y'all. A lot. Social media, when you think about it, it has become a prominent platform for self-expression and communication. So I want to hear from both of you, like, how do you maintain a healthy balance between your online presence and your personal life? Do you have them separated? Are they together? What? Why don't y'all just jump in and start talking?
I mean, you want to go or you want me to go?
I'll take it. For me, I really don't be on social media or like that. I barely post as is. And if anything, it's like old posts from like 2019 and like 2020, stuff like that. Like I almost haven't made a post in like 2 years. My goodness. But at the same time, like my dad once said, not everything is for public consumption. So you don't have to post, you know, everything or every little thing you do or, you know, for me, if I ever post anything, it's most likely going to be on my story. And those usually last like 24 hours. And then, you know, I might post the next day or it may be like a whole 2 months before, you know, I'll post something else. But if anything, I'm just posting like milestones for like me and my family or like a celebratory moment, you know, somebody's birthday, something like that. I really don't post about like, you know, sad news, unless like, you know, it was somebody that, you know, me and like, I don't know, somebody who's been on my story before, like, you know, if it was like a close friend or cousin or something like that. Cause I really like, that's the time to, you know, for yourself and for your family. I don't really post everything. You know, if anything, I'll just post like a goofy video for like my close friends or something, but I just mostly post like milestones and celebratory moments.
So let me ask this question if I can. with social media being the it thing for your age group, how are you able not to hang out for 2 years? Or do you not post, or do you still scroll and not post?
Oh, look, so this is what I do. I'll get on like Instagram. I'll go through like some people's stories, you know, check to see if I had any like new DMs or something like that. I'll scroll like maybe like once, refresh the page, scroll again, and then I won't go back to like social media for like the rest of the day.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, if you were to ask me this question like in 2019, I would have been like, my answer would have been totally different. But nowadays, it's just like,
Is there just like this no taste in your mouth? I mean, you got to give me a little bit more, Isaiah. I find this intriguing. And thank you. It's like, wow.
It's just, you know, my taste for social media is just like, you know, everything's like, everything could, don't judge a book by its cover, basically. So like, you know, just because they're posting this, that don't mean they're actually living like this. Now, some people, they are living like that, but 90% of the time, it's all just a front. So it's just like, I don't want to entertain that.
Wow. Thank you for sharing, being vulnerable with that. What about you, Lexi? What is it like for you? It's become so prominent for self-expression, this place where people go to have a conversation or to promote or to do whatever. So how do you maintain a healthy balance between online and your personal life?
Well, I would say for first things, most kids probably my age have heard this one too many times. You have to disconnect to reconnect and, you know, just have a stable balance in your day. You know, maybe even schedule for yourself. Okay, well, this is me time. And out of this me time, I'll do this much. And sometimes you have to set like those little app timers. Well, it'll shut it down for you because that'll help with like self-discipline. Trust me, I've had to do it myself too. But I'm going to have to be with Isaiah because I have not been on social media for about 10 months now. Something like that. Yeah, 10 months no social media. Yeah, that's something real close to it, if not. So I had to take a break from it for sure. But it's I think it helped a lot with it coming to clear my head. And I think when I first started social media or first got on it, I became one of those people where I would like post everything sort of. But then it was like, okay, that's some of that is your personal business. My parents were like, okay, not everybody needs to know this, that, and the other. So I'm like, okay, wait, let's reassess. What should we be posting? What should we not be posting?
Right.
Yeah, there's a line. There's most definitely a line, but I haven't been on social media in a long time. So really, I can't really talk too much on it. So Isaiah kind of took it all for me.
Wow. I love this. I love this. I see people, their heads are constantly down. I can be out at the mall or even at movies. I've seen people on the phone, like they cannot leave that phone alone. to even for a 90-minute or, you know, 2-hour movie. They just can't do it. They're constantly picking it up, looking at it, laughing, taking pictures, taking selfies or whatever. I've walked into bathrooms at a restaurant and people are in there taking selfies. I'm like, why are you taking a selfie in the daggone bathroom? Help me understand that. Or they'll go, speaking of what Isaiah is saying, they'll go and they'll stand by a car and take a picture. And then I've asked people, I said, so are you saying this is your car? And they're like, oh yeah, that's the fun of it. But it's not your car. So what is the point behind this? So it's just really interesting. Really, really interesting. So let me ask the two of you. Y'all messed me up today.
I think I would say on top of that, I've learned that I've had sort of a fear of missing intentional moments if I'm on my phone. So it's like there's intentionality, like with you guys, it's like I don't want to be on my phone because it's like, oh, I missed a moment or I missed a laugh. Or I just missed something because I was too caught up on what other people's lives were doing. I couldn't just keep up with what I was doing, what other people around me were doing. I'm like, these people are in front of me. You're not in front of me. You're living maybe a real life or a fake life, but I just need to be more intentional with relationships and people that I surround myself with. So I think that's helped also when it comes to social media.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. So when I said to the two of you, and this started actually in 2022, I was more prominent. I was more out there with you all 2023. I was like, nah, I ain't doing all that. And I said, okay, to the two of you, I want you to take News in Motion as the young people take over and run with it. And then I gave you some parameters. I said, now Tuesday and Wednesday, you got to be professional. Thursday, do whatever you want to. I say, what was that like to have someone say, here's my show, take it and run with it, and do you. What was that like for you to hear somebody give you all of that?
It definitely was a boost of trust and a show of confidence for me for that. When someone has like established or who has been around and like they're, you know, in their industry for like a long time, when they give you their show to not tweak it, but like to do it in your own unique way. That shows leadership. That shows that they can, that they see your hard work and that they can rely on you. And you know, if, for someone around my age to have done that, that's a huge boost, you know, confidence booster for me. You know, it showed me that I can, you know, I can step outside the box. I'm more of a behind the scenes type of guy, but being on camera like for like a whole month, I've gotten used to it like by week two. So
I love it. You know, I've had a lot of people say to me, how did you do that? And can you help some other young people do this? And I'm like, I'm open to do that. I said, but I can't stand it on my own. You would have to also hear from Isaiah and Lexi because they're the ones who made it run during that time. But people were saying, I mean, when I tell y'all, people were calling in or emailing saying, you didn't even pop in there. You just turned it over. And I was like, yeah, they were thinking I was working behind the scenes, feeding y'all what to say. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I didn't even go in the back office at all. I said, I was just on the front side encouraging. I said, and there was a lot of times I didn't say much of anything because I didn't even want them to know I was on there. So Lexi, what was that like? You being a high school, junior year of high school, and someone turning this over with Isaiah as your, I'm sorry to say, co-conspirator.
you could have said older brother.
Older brother. What was that like?
I mean, you kind of said it for me. That's my older brother. So it's Isaiah. So it's easy for me to talk to him. It's easy for me to feel comfortable around him because he's my older brother. He makes me feel okay. If I don't feel okay, he knows like what to say, when to say it. And he can tell, he can take over for me. So I trust him in that sense. But being able to handle a whole show, like half of it, I guess you could say in a sense. But it shows a lot of valuability, if that's a word. I think it shows how valuable other people can see you, even when you don't see yourself as valuable. Sometimes it can be as a constant reminder. It's most definitely a confident boost for me. It just showed me, like, I do have those leadership skills. I do have the skills to be able to do something like this, especially because it's something that I love to do, being in this whole journalism and broadcasting field. I like to see the insides and outs. And I was had, me and Isaiah had the opportunity to do that and just flourish and grow and be able to change things, which is not something you see often. So usually they want you to stick to what you know or what they know. But we got to just do what we liked or what we knew as young people, and maybe shift some perspectives from what we know and what we've grown up to see. So that was, like, really cool to do.
It's so funny because people are like, are you going to stick with Talk About Tuesday? I said, that's not my word. That's Isaiah. That belongs to Isaiah and Lexi. They were like, oh, I'm sure they'll let you use it. And I was like, no, they're going to use it for their own show. And it's like, well, what about a Wednesday? And I said, not that either. I said, we still have workshops. So it's just really interesting. That's how much people loved it. But for me, I'm sitting here thinking, no, that's theirs. And it's so funny to me how people just want to grab from what else. It's like, that's their personality. That's their makeup. That's who they are. I said, now I may throw the word out there, but I'm going to give it back to them as credit. So with all of that, y'all, the two of you got very edgy too. I remember being on one day and I was like, oh, this is good. Y'all were talking about sopranos and altos. And Lexi, you were giving it to the people. And they were like,
yes, ma'am. I'm sure I stand by what I've said. I do not change about it. We can have a conversation about it later. Call me up. We can have a full conversation.
But I loved it because I was like, wow, both Isaiah and Lexi, they're not backing down. That also showed me y'all's confidence. Y'all didn't get intimidated by the audience. And that makes for great hosts. Y'all weren't going to cave because somebody pushed back or didn't agree or didn't like what you had to say. Y'all went in. Isaiah, one time you were given a, how do I say this? You were trying to give a comedy bit. It didn't go well. But even when it didn't go well, you were like, and so I said what I said and I'm sticking by it. Where did you get that confidence, Isaiah, to do that? Because it was priceless. I loved it.
It was always in me, but I just had a hard time expressing it. And a lot of that came from self-doubt. And I'm not me being like timid, but kind of like, you know, whenever I spoke, nobody really heard. So I had to work on myself and work on my self-confidence. And now I'm this like energetic, charismatic type of guy. But beforehand, it wasn't always like that. But plus, you know, I'm a corny dude. I tell corny jokes. I find corny jokes funny, you know, so. It just goes well with my personality.
Mm-hmm. Love, 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 love.
Lexi, don't be giving me that look.
You find it funny.
You know that the Sunday joke was funny. You know that the corner of the day was funny too.
No, all of that. No. I'm gonna let you have it too. I mean, you go ahead. You have a little talk with Jesus, and you come back and tell me what he said about it.
So Isaiah, for those on the podcast who may not remember the Sunday joke, can you tell it here?
Yeah, I was like, I remember now. So I was like, hey, Lexi, you know, since you want to talk about your national days, you know, I had a teacher named Miss Day. And then, you know, I asked if she had a son. She's like, yeah. So I guess his name was Sunday.
See, I thought that was funny.
Or the other one I said was it was when you were talking about National Sundae, the ice cream sundae. I was like, I would rather eat a sundae on Sunday, like, you
know. Right?
Because
right.
Why would you want to eat a sundae on a Tuesday? That's for tacos. Like, you know, I'd rather eat a sundae on Sunday. Somebody gonna catch them when they get home with both hands.
See, with both hands, there's that. But I love the personality that came behind that and how y'all fed off of each other. And Lexi, you were pulling out some national days I've never heard of in my life. I'm still stuck on the one, the to take a walk with pants day.
Yep, take your pants on a walk day.
Mm-hmm. I was like,
take your pants on a walk. Take your plants and your pants.
Your plants.
Because
remember, I thought that you said, I said, oh, she said plants, not pants. And you were like, no, both of those days are out there. And I was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yes.
So where would y'all take a digital show next? Because I really do see y'all having y'all's own show sooner than later. So what would y'all do? Like, who would your audience be? I'll start with you, Isaiah. Who would your audience be? And where would you want to see a show and take a show?
Well, the correct terminology is demographic, but I'm gonna, you know, audience, target audience, whatever you want to say. My demographic would probably be somewhere around.
See what I deal with, y'all? But I love it.
Excuse us. Oh my, demographic. It's the correct term is demographic.
Term. But I'm gonna let you have it. Look, y'all. Listen, listeners. I taught him, but okay, I got corrected. So excuse me, Isaac, your demographics. Who would your demographics be?
My demographic, the age range would be from anywhere from 12 to 23. That's a huge year gap. And I say that because within that year gap, you learn a lot and your brain is still developing. Your brain isn't truly developed until you reach the age of, I believe, 25. So around that time, you got to soak in as much knowledge as you can from as many people as you can. Now, not all knowledge is good, but, you know, it's better to know something every new day than learn nothing each, you know. So.
Gotcha.
But I see my platform, or I see a show for, you know, people within that age range, just to vent, just to talk about, you know, whatever they're going through. It's not really therapy in a way, but it's more expressing, you know, yourself and not being judged for it, because society has, they have put this barrier on us where, especially young Black men too, that we can't show emotions, or if you show emotions, then people are going to think that you're vulnerable, or that, you know, that you're being weak. It's not. There's strength in some of the tears that you cried. You know, there's strength and relief in some of the joy and the tears that you cried. There can be pain behind your laughter. There can be joy behind your sadness. But it's not always about kind of, you know, how you express yourself, but in the ways that you do as well.
Okay. Before I go to you, Lexi, and I'm going to ask you the same question, but Isaiah, with what you just described, could you see a Talk About It Tuesday session or podcast? And what was your Wednesdays? What was it called?
Well-Spoken Wednesday.
Well-Spoken Wednesday?
Yeah, those are kind of like more so for the poetry that Lexi would do, or like the inspirational message word that, you know, tag team. And y'all love that, by the way. Y'all would love the Well-Spoken Wednesday, especially for the message. Like, y'all, it would be like we were having church in there. All we were missing was an organ and a tambourine.
It was so good. It was so refreshing. Because, you know, when I'm on, I do more of the news headlines and I do more voting and, you know, I'm coming with that type of education, which is needed every day, you know. But this young people takeover and the way y'all put that out there was phenomenal. So, Lexi, let me ask you, what would you see as a podcast, a broadcast, and your demographics? What would that look like for you?
I say starting from maybe 13, and I would go all the way to 25, just because it's where, like Isaiah said, it's where your brain, I guess, has stopped its full development. But I think me and Isaiah actually did talk about, we talked about this behind the scenes, maybe like doing some type of live show one day or something, or bringing it to you guys live, what we do, and you guys can do Q&A and things of the sort. We've had dreams and ideas and visions. So those things are prayerfully can be put into existence. But when I brought Talk About It Tuesday, I brought it to Isaiah, and I don't think it would be the same without his input. But we were thinking, okay, how can we expand? How can we change it in a way where it's impactful, just not just for us, but to everybody? So we said, okay, Talk About It Tuesday would be more focused or oriented around the way you do inspirational message on News in Motion, but bring it full circle to the whole show. Because sometimes people just need to hear the whole message, not saying we don't deliver a whole message in 5 minutes, but sometimes we need to carry it out and go into depth with whatever it is that we need to talk about, or whatever verse, or whatever it is that the situation that we bring up for Talk About Tuesday. So we just wanted to experience it and go deeper into whatever the topic would be. But that's where I've seen us go for a little bit.
I love it. So, and I'll let both of y'all feed off on each other on this one. But if someone was to say to you, wow, how do I start a show, or how do I put together a show, or how do I get my thought process on paper? What would that look like? How would you respond to that person? Where would you start? Isaiah, with you as a freelance media person, you've been working with me, 2 years now?
Yeah, just about 2 years.
Yeah, about 2 years now. And Lexi, you being a high school News in Motion ambassador, and you've been filling in, doing even specials, reports from high school on Thursdays. Let me just role play. So my name is Gail, and I'm looking to start a show. I'm 17 years old. I'm 17 years old. I don't even know where to begin. What has your mentor taught you, and where would you suggest I start? What would that look like? Can y'all please help me?
Yeah. I think I'll say really quick that you need to have a vision of what you want. What does your demographic look like? What do you want to talk about? Well, how long? Or you can get to the details of that later, but just figure out what the core goal is out of whatever it is that you do. What is the goal of what? Or if you're going to do it like me and Isaiah, where we co-host, take the pros of what he does, or what he knows how to do, and what I do, and we put them together. So we would come up with visions of our own, bring it together. How can we collaborate? How can we make this work to fit the demographic that we want to reach? So something like that would be a good start.
Just to bounce off what Lexia said, having a vision or like a vision board of what your show is going to be, and the theme of the show, you gotta have like a consistent, you gotta have a consistent theme with your show. Now when you plan out your time of show, it can vary. For us, we were 20 minutes. A few times we almost went an hour. But it's all about what you want to talk about as well. Because if people are interested in what you're talking about, they're going to listen. They are definitely going to listen. And as long as you, I don't want to say, stay, like your tone stays convincing, but, as long as you, keep them interested, pique their interest, catch their expressions too. For us, we can't really see the audience expressions. But if you can, while you're talking, the next time you're talking to someone, notice their facial expressions. Mm-hmm. If their eyebrows raised, then their amazement, or it might be a little concerned, but just had to give that piece of information. I'm a nerd, y'all, so I'm just giving all this information out. So this is authentic me. This is just me, unapologetic. So I ain't gonna apologize for it.
And I love it, and I don't want you to apologize for it. What were you gonna say, Lexi?
I was going to bounce off of that, saying most definitely use your resources. So like, know what you're good at and what maybe you're not so good at, and just find people or find resources where you know can accomplish those goals in a timely manner. So it would go just behind what you want to do, what you know you want to do. Of course, the details will come about later. But if you're going to form a team that believes in what you're doing, and you know that they're going to stick and just be with you through the thick and thin, knowing it's not just going to boost off immediately, right? So just know what you're doing and use your resources.
Yeah. And I would love for y'all to speak on, before I ask y'all this next question. And again, you know, this is a 45-minute show and we're getting ready to go beyond that. But hey, that's what I'm used to doing, right, Isaiah? I'm always going over time.
It is what it is.
But this has been so amazing. Please speak to the fact, and this is where I see a major mistake, not just with young people, but with people all the time. They have an idea and they just run with it. Instead of doing its due diligence, instead of really taking the time to research, I tell people all the time, the news I want to deliver and how fact-based I want it to be, I'm up at 4 a.m. I may not be done doing research after the show until sometime 7, 8 p.m. So it's a constant thing. And it's work. You just can't throw something out there. I don't care what type of show you have. You're going to spend minimum 3 hours on preparing a show, minimum. And that depends on the kind of show. Can you speak to that? How it's not just you jump up, have an idea and get on a broadcast or podcast. Isaiah, I'll throw it to you first and then to Lexi.
Can you repeat the question?
That it takes work, that mm-hmm. So many people think you can just jump up and do it. But there's some, if y'all can see Isaiah's face again, go ahead, Isaiah.
Listen, what we do, you don't just get up and, you know, jump on. Like, we have to prepare, like, do our research, like, days before, like, our podcast. Sometimes, you know, with breaking news, too, it happens, like, hours before we're going live. That happened as well. And for the behind-the-scenes people, they'll understand this when I say this. It is a process setting up a production. You know, whether you're doing camera work, lighting, audio. Shout out to our audio person, Gina, by the way. but, you know, sometimes this is a process. You know, it takes hours to make sure that everything is up and running, to make sure that your network is connected, make sure your lighting is good, make sure that the camera battery is full. It's a process, y'all. So, you know, when you are doing a show, be sure to thank the people, not just, you know, on the scene, but behind the scenes as well, because, mm-hmm. you know, it is a process setting up a wonderful production for, you know, your show, your host, your mm-hmm. church service, whatever you're doing. So, you know, give the people behind the scene, you know, their flowers too.
Yeah. And he's right about that breaking news. Breaking news can come and it can change the entire run of show. And you're like, what do I do? And then the volume. And then you have to be prepared if you have a guest and they have technical difficulties, their electricity went off, or they overslept. That has happened to us, hasn't it, Isaiah? And you have to have enough content to keep going. So I don't build a show. And Isaiah and I have done this live. This has happened to us live. And we're waiting for that person to come into the green room. But I have so much content. We keep it going. I have pulled Isaiah into a show without any announcement. I will throw a question to Isaiah and he's like, oh, I'm on. And he just jumps on and he goes with it and we feed off of each other because that guest person did not show up. Isaiah, you want to speak to that real quick before I go to Lexi?
I'm just going to say one word, pivot. That's what we do best around here. We pivot around a roadblock. If a guest ain't show up, 9 times out of 10, I'm getting called on. If everybody is like out or sick and, you know, I'm the only one available, I'll still give some news. The show might only be 20 minutes long, but.
But it's okay. It's okay.
We pivot around here.
We pivot. Lexi, what about you? Because listen, I think people don't realize you were coming into high school. The bell may have just rung and you're trying to find a setup to come on because we're calling on you to come on live. So talk about that and how you have to do your research and you have to do your homework and everything else.
It is not, let me make that very clear. It is not an easy job. It is not N-O to the T. No, ma'am, Pam. It is not an easy job at all. But I love what I do, which makes it enjoyable. But no, ma'am, Pam. It is not easy at all. Getting up early in the morning, I don't complain about it at all, but it's not easy. You just got to get up. You have to know what you're you got to get ready first. You got, first of all, that's first and foremost. You got to get ready. Of course, you hope that you plan everything beforehand, but news changes. So sometimes you got to go back and tweak things. And sometimes you just got to change what you're going to say or watch what you're going to say. You have to just be mindful of everything that you're doing, everything that you're doing. When you bring news, you have to obviously look at multiple resources. There's a lot of time, and you need to know how much time it takes you to be doing. Like what I do, it'll take me about 45 minutes maybe to put a story together, depending on the story or what it talks about. On average, 45 minutes to bring news, because I want it to be factual. I want it to be thorough. I want to be able to bring people news that maybe if it has my opinion in it, that I know what I'm going to say without maybe affecting how somebody else feels or it'll affect the show in general. So just watching things like that, you like always have to be cautious as a journalist. But of course, put your voice out there, but in a responsible and a respective way. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of work. It's not easy, but it's I love what I do. So.
But it's fun. And I must say, I love working with the two of you. I mean, it really brings me joy. It really brings me. And I'm so proud of you all. I'm so proud. So as we're wrapping up, I have a question. This is Politics and Prose podcast. What book, Lexi, are you currently reading and why that book?
I am currently reading. I literally just started it, I think, Friday evening. But it's Before I Let Go by Kennedy Ryan. It is a book about maybe middle-aged Black people in love. I would say about maybe just under their 40s. A man and a woman going through their marriage trials. They just got divorced. They have kids, trying to figure out typically if love is going to work for them. How do they find a co-parenting balance? And I read this book not just because it's like, oh, it's love, it's Black love, it's that and the other. I try to find perspective in books. Although I do love a good romance book, I want to see what it's like maybe for a couple, like an older couple, to be in love and experiences the reality of the world. And I checked the person who wrote the book. She's actually a therapist, Kennedy Ryan. She asked opinion from therapists. She has talked about, in the beginning of her book, she says she'll talk about real life situations, but just wants to acknowledge for people who have actually gone through those things that I ask people who have actually gone through those things to make sure that I'm not just saying things off my own biased opinion. So I just wanted to, and that's like, that's what I like to do. I need to make sure that my opinion is just not my own. It's something that people can relate to. I put things together to make sure it stays true. So I just wanted to read something like that. It opens up my perspective, and I do love. So why not? So it was really interesting.
Cool. Isaiah, what book are you currently reading and why?
It's not really a book that I read. It's more so a book that I listen to. And that's music. Music is my book.
I love that.
There's so many stories, and you know, you can read the lyrics, and you know, that can be a book as well. But to hear them and to feel the instruments, that's my book. So whether it's, you know, I'm feeling nostalgic and I want to hear like, you know, my Tupacs, my Biggies, my Nas or whatnot. You know, because I feel like I should have been born in the 90s. You know, early 2000s kid, but I should have been in the 90s, like 94, 95 would have been a great year for me. But just because of how everything was back then, the style, the culture, the music, the people back then, and the TV shows too, but the love back then, like the 90s love is, it's unmatched for real. And sometimes, you know, when I'm thinking about my person, or, you know, I'm thinking about like someone that, you know, I care about truly, I'll turn on like my love song, or like I'll turn on about a song that reminds me of them. If I'm feeling, you know, energetic or like wanting to dance, you know, I'll throw on something like that, because that's my book. That's, your life is a story. And, you know, you're writing out each chapter, you know, each event every day that you live. So that's just my book. It's music. You know, it's not something you read, but it's something that you feel.
I love that. Was powerful. Thank you. We didn't even get to talk about inspirational messages or anything like that in depth, but everything you have been sharing, I think is just great that we're kicking off September with this particular podcast, because I want more and more people to recognize our young adults, our young people, and the work that they're doing. So I want to say thank you to the two of you for hanging out with me. I know y'all probably get sick of me, but you know, you're stuck with me. So
we don't mind.
Don't mind at all.
Listen, so to our listeners, as we come to the end of this insightful podcast episode, we really want to extend our heartfelt gratitude to our wonderful guests, Isaiah and Lexi. I want y'all to know that y'all's perspective and experiences have truly shed light on the intricate relationship between life and media for young people in today's digital age. I think y'all are just rocking it. Y'all knocking it out the park. Through our conversation, we explored ways of growing up in this fast-paced world and how it has shaped your views on media and impact on society. And I'm still floored that both of you are not on this platform 24/7. I'm actually proud of that. It's like music to my ears to have heard that. Your thoughts on navigating the vast sea of information and tracking misinformation has offered valuable insight, I believe, for all of our listeners. I appreciate y'all's candid discussions on maintaining a healthy balance. And again, you're not even on here all the time. You might scroll, you may do some stories or something like that, but that's about it. You're actually an inspiration. I also want to talk about your thoughts on representation and diversity in mainstream media. And how all of that has been eye-opening. So to wrap up this Generation Wired, life and media through the eyes of young people, I just want to express my gratitude once again to Isaiah and Lexi for being amazing guests. Of course, I'm singing y'all's praises and sharing your valuable insight and perspective with us. I love that you broke down what it takes to really run a show and what that looks like. Your perspective have undoubtedly enriched the conversation and allowed us all to better understand the impact of young people when it comes to social media platforms. To our listeners, I want to say that we hope this episode has provided you with a fresh perspective and encourage you to reflect on your own relationship with media in this digital era. Also, if you have young people in your family or household and you're saying, hey, I would love for them to start a podcast or to be on your show, you can do so by contacting the information that's going to be in the show notes. But if you can't remember it, you can just go to GailDudley.com and complete a contact form there. Now, I want everyone to remember it is essential to stay informed, to be critical of information and sources when we talk about misinformation. And I want all of you young people to seek a healthy balance between your digital presence and your real life connections. I know none of you or very few of you are pretty much like Isaiah and Lexi, where they don't hang out on this for long periods of time. But if you do, think about setting a timer, as Lexi talked about, so that you can pause on it. Again, Lexi and Isaiah, thank you for joining me today. And I want to tell all of our listeners, until the next episode, y'all know what I say. Stay informed. Wow. Stay well. And remember to make some bold moves. So with that, before I sign off completely, Isaiah or Lexi, do you have any final words?
I just want to say thank you for having us. This was my first ever podcast. So, you know, glad I could check that off the checklist. But I feel like it worked out good for me because I've been taught I have a soothing voice.
And you do. Thank you. Lexi, what about you?
Just saying a big thank you, of course, to Yatigo, but to the podcast family, hello, hello. It's good to see you guys. So it's wonderful to be here once again. But just a big thank you for listening.
It's good to see you to the podcast. Come on.
Please don't.
See what I deal with, but I love it.
Yeah, see, y'all, it's okay because we're, Jesus, be offense around me.
And y'all, if y'all missed the Young People Takeover, the replays are up. So y'all can check it out. But this was the back and forth that made the show because they caught each other in things that they said. So Isaiah heard Lexi say, it was good to see you podcast. And he's like, you didn't see anybody. They didn't see you either. They just heard you. So that's just their back and forth, which brings the richness to this show. So going back to you, Lexi, what else would you like to say before we get out of here?
I mean, I'm not going to say anything else incorrect before I'm being corrected anymore, because obviously Auntie says demographic incorrectly or doesn't use the right words, and I just say things that come off my mouth sometimes and I just don't pay attention to it. My apologies, our apologies. But thank you guys so much for listening just to our to what we have to say. If you can see Isaiah right now, and just it's okay. It's okay. It's gonna be good. But yes, thank you so much for listening to us, what we had to say. So we appreciate it, being able to be a voice for young people and just give you guys a different perspective.
Well, I appreciate it. And again, I say, stay well, everyone. And remember to make some bold moves. We are out.
New episodes air on Fridays. Make sure to follow Gail on Instagram, Twitter, and post.news at Gail Dudley. And subscribe to her YouTube, www.youtube.com/Gail Dudley. Tune in to be informed. And make sure to subscribe to Politics and Prose wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss an episode.